Hey friends, Antoinette Grajeda here. Welcome back to Affirmative Action. To kick things off today, I first want to say happy holidays and congratulations on getting to the end of 2021. It was another crazy year, so we're going to continue the tradition we started in 2020 of spending our final episode of the year focused on something positive. With the continuation of the COVID-19 pandemic, you no doubt spent a lot of time online in 2021. At work, you probably had your fair share of awkward, clunky Zoom meetings. In your downtime, you likely scrolled through social media for entertainment. While doing the latter, you may have run across today's guests, two Arkansans who've gone viral, but in a good way. The first person we're chatting with is Claudine James. She teaches 8th grade English language arts in Central Arkansas. She went viral when the grammar lessons she published on TikTok gained massive popularity among people around the world.
Well, we're so excited and pleased that you could join us. Thank you so much. I would love to go back to the beginning, if you will. I know everybody's really pumped about what's happening right now with your career, but I would love to know where it started. What inspired you to become a teacher, or who?
I've always wanted to become a teacher. And so it's sort of like a no-brainer. As far back as I can remember, when I was in pre-K, I said I wanted to be a teacher. My aunts and great aunts were all educators. And so therein lie the inspiration, and I just followed that path.
Well, English can be a tricky language. There's lots of rules, and of course, several exceptions to all of those rules. So why was this a subject that you wanted to teach?
Because I love reading and I love writing. I was telling my students the other day this hilariously funny story, and they asked me, did I play sports? And I said, no, I didn't play any sports. And I said, that's why I became an English teacher. They said, you didn't play sports and you became an English teacher. How does that go together? And I said, well, when I was in the eighth grade, I wanted to try out for the basketball team. And the coach couldn't break it to me to tell me that I didn't have any talent. And she told me to go sit on the sidelines and read a book. And I said, okay. And so I read the book the first day. The second day, I said, can I try out today? She said, no, keep reading. And the third day, and she said, keep reading. Well, by this time, the fourth day, tryouts are over. The team's been picked. And I told her, I said, I didn't get a chance to try out. She said, it's okay, honey. She said, you're doing really good reading the book. She said, just keep reading. And she's like 82 years old now. And she always pat me on the back and say, see, I helped you become an English teacher. So I always kind of recount that story to say that I guess that's where the momentum started, because she just showed me then, you know, how much I love reading and how much reading could take me to places that I'd never gone before. I always say, as long as you have a good book, you'll never be without a friend, because whoever the character is in the book can be your friend. And as long as you have a good book, you always have a place to go.
Well, what an interesting path to getting to where you are today. Are you still in contact with that teacher?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I mean, very, very much. She is like a mentor, and just really close. Yes, ma'am.
What does she think about all of this TikTok account and going viral?
She just keeps saying, do your thing, girl, do your thing.
Aw, so nice to have someone supporting you like that. So let's get to that piece of it. So I understand that during the pandemic, you started posting your lessons to YouTube, and the students weren't watching. So how did you end up on TikTok? Were you already on TikTok and you just sort of made the switch?
No, up until November the 30th, 2020, I didn't even have the TikTok app on my phone, which was just a short year ago. And so I was telling the students, I was like, so when y'all are being quarantined and you're supposed to be watching my lessons on YouTube, and I just give short grammar lessons. It'll be a grammar lesson that will relate to a writing activity or a grammar lesson that will help fix something I saw in the writing. I was like, you're even watching these. And so what am I going to get you to do to watch them? And someone said, oh, you should post them on TikTok, because everybody watches TikTok all the time and you'll just, you know, show up on there. And I was like, TikTok? I said, what is that? And so I said, are you sure we can show you? Yeah, you can show me. And they was like, oh, no, I'm not doing some kind of dancing. And I was like, you don't have to do dancing. And I said, okay. That was my class before lunch. When I came home at lunch, I called my goddaughter and I told her, I said, hey, I want to get on TikTok. And she said, you do? And she said, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. I said, I don't know. I just want to do it. So on my lunch break, she taught me how to sign up, and we came up with the name. And she said, what do you want your name to be? I said, I want it to be something that stands out. And she said, well, we got to have English teacher. And I was like, I'm that English teacher. And she said, okay, let's do it. And we looked it up. No one had that name. And when I went back to school, I told my next class, and they was like, oh, you should post one of your videos that you already had on YouTube. I was like, okay. So I posted it. And I said, yo, it's a thing on there called followers. I said, what does that mean? I was like, oh, that's like Facebook friends. I said, oh, okay. Well, y'all be on followers? Like, no. And I said, really? And I said, we'll watch the videos, but we're not going to follow you because we don't want you following us. And I was like, okay. And overnight, I had 1,000 followers. That was on, I believe it was on a Monday. Before the next Monday, I had 10,000 followers. And so I went back to school, and my class who initially told me about it, I said, hey, guys, I got 10,000 followers. Like, yeah. Hey, Ms. Days, would you follow me? What? Wait a minute. I remember when I asked y'all to follow me just a week ago, everyone said no. So the answer is no, I won't follow you. Well, will you tag me? Nope, won't tag you. And so it just kind of went from there. And, you know, the kids started giving me ideas about, well, I should do a lesson on this because we missed this. And, you know, it just works out. It just works out.
Well, I looked before we hopped on this call, and you're up to 3.1 million followers. Yes, and it's only been like a year. Look at that smile.
Yes, ma'am. It's unreal. It's totally unreal. For some reason, I'm currently getting about 1,000 followers a day.
Oh, wow.
And so one of my students says, you're getting more followers in a day than I got in a whole year. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just doing what I love to do. And that's honestly the truth. I'm not making some special effort or something. I'm just doing what I enjoy doing.
And have you been surprised to find that some of your followers are international?
Well, I think it was in March. Uh-huh. I posted a really simple lesson because my students kept getting mixed up when they would say, you seen me. And I was like, no, you can't say that. It's you have seen me. You have to use have or had when you use the word, have or has when you use the word seen. And he's like, well, I don't understand. So I just, this really, really simple visual. And it just had I, he, she, and then seen, you know, she has seen, they have seen. It was just simple. I think it's like 17 seconds. And I posted it and it instantly went viral. In fact, as of yesterday, it had 54.5 million views, 5.3 million likes. I reposted it yesterday because someone asked a question and I answered the question with a video. What video in 2021 of yours went viral? In less than 24 hours, that same video had 1 million views and 100,000 likes. So simple. But in that video, I did a hashtag of English as a second language, which basically means that someone who English, you know, they didn't originally start speaking English when they were born. And so that is a lot of the reason I have a lot of followers is because, as one of my followers said, that I just quote, break it down so simplistically that even someone whose, you know, first language isn't English, they understand what I'm trying to teach. And they just said it's so simple. I currently have about 50 ESL teachers that are using my videos. It was one teacher said, you know what? I tried to emulate everything you do. And she's like, I couldn't do it. And I just start showing your video. So I have about 50 teachers that have told me that they use my videos in their ESL classes. And this just isn't in the United States. It's around the world.
I'm sure you never could have imagined reaching this many people. But now that you have, I mean, have you been able to process what that means or the impact that you're having, not just on Arkansans, but on people around the world?
I have. And I always tell myself, too much is given, much is required. And so I continually try to answer people who ask me to, you know, do this video or do that video or, you know, answer this question. I had someone last night and she's like, I'm in school for education and I never knew what I wanted to be until I started watching your videos. And she said, I want to be an English teacher. Aww. And hope that I'm have as, you know, good English teacher as you are. And I was like, well, I don't know about that, but I'd love to be your mentor. And she, you know, instantly sent me an email and was like, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? I've had a lot of teachers ask me to, you know, teach training, like, how do you come up with these things? And it's not so much like I have some book or something. I guess it's just when you have a calling that you just know what to do and when to do it. I did a video poll and I asked people from different countries to check in because I wanted to see how many different countries that I had followers in. And it's 84.
That's quite a few.
Yeah, it is. 84 different countries.
Well, what does your family think about all this?
I am the mom of three sons. They label me Miss Extra because they said I always have to go the extra mile. So at first they was like, Mom, you're doing too much, you know? And so one day my oldest son, he owns a store and someone came in the store and recognized the video of me. I think one of his workers was looking at the video and she said, that's your mom? And he's like, yeah, that's my mom. And so it's kind of for my sons, and they're all grown, it's a little overwhelming for them. I think the thing that just blew my youngest son away is that we were out shopping and someone walked up to me and, you know, recognized me from TikTok. And he was like, oh, no.
What have you learned over this journey over the course of the last year?
I believe that everything that we encounter in life has a hidden message for us. And it also has a hidden lesson. And the thing that I've learned from this is a big, big thing in education. And that's called modify and adjust. Yesterday, we were taking semester exams. And the website, which we use to administer the exams, crashed. And so, you know, my students were like, oh, no, I'm going to get a zero, you know, and they were just panicking. And it's like, why aren't you panicking? I was like, I have learned to modify and adjust. I think we all probably should have after 2020. And so I don't let the little small things come in and overwhelm me. I promise you that I am so not tech savvy. All of my sons are very tech savvy. In fact, my youngest two are software engineers, but I'm not. I mean, I literally have to have them come home and reprogram my television when the lights go out. And so to see me on TikTok and know how to do all this, that's what my son said, Mom, I'm pretty sure you're just using us because like you just got on that app and went to town. But my students, you know, kind of gave me little tutorials, but I guess it was just meant to be because I just, you know, figured it out. I don't know. I just figured it out. And the lesson to learn is just modify and adjust. I wanted my students to have little mini grammar lessons. I wanted them to pay attention to them and I wanted them those lessons to stick. And TikTok was a way to modify and adjust and to accomplish that goal. Meanwhile, what I've also found out that there is a huge market for innovation in the teacher and in the teaching profession. There's a huge market for just being innovative in what we do. And I think that's probably the success behind my TikTok account is just being innovative.
Yours is such a story of hope, I think, for folks that, like you said, you're not very tech savvy, but you've been able to use the internet in a good way, right? You know, so often we talk about the negative side of things, you know, people insulting each other or something like that online. And here you've taken it and you're educating millions of people. For folks that might be interested in doing the same, would you have any advice for them on how to get started or even just words of encouragement?
Well, that is my, I guess you could say my second job is inspiring and encouraging. What I never do is I never listen to people tell me what I can't do. Normally, when people tell me what I can't do, that's what I normally excel in. Mm-hmm. So I always say never listen to the naysayers unless you're going to listen to them for motivation, but never listen to them as a sense of someone you should follow or advice that you should take. In fact, most often when I try an adventure, and it for me, an adventure is like all the time, I don't seek anyone's advice that's not where I'm trying to go. Because sometimes people don't understand your vision. They don't understand your level of innovation. They don't understand your level of creativity. And most often, if they did, they would probably already be where you're trying to go. So I always say, let your haters be your motivators. And my students have picked that up and they just use it, you know, all the time. And that's a good motto. But I think the best motto is be the change that you want to see in the world. If you want something to change, be the change that you want to see in the world. And for me, I know personally, there was a lot of, quote, learning loss during the pandemic as far as students in the classroom. As an educator and as someone who's always trying to excel, it was very disheartening for me. Very, very disheartening. And it still is, because the learning loss is still being seen in our students, in my students. And so I have to be the change that I want to see in the world. And I have to just keep pressing and thinking of new ideas and new ways in order to motivate and inspire my students to see the value in education. And now I'm so thankful that I am part of a classroom without walls, because not only am I teaching in room 202, I'm teaching around the world. And I realize with that awesome task comes a huge amount of responsibility that I don't take lightly. So I caution anyone that you, when you put yourself out there, be ready to be out there, because there is a level of accountability. And that's also a level of responsibility. But if you look at what you can rewards, the rewards on the other end, if you do a good job, are just infinite, just totally infinite.
You seem like a very creative person who's always thinking of new ideas. So have you thought of any new ideas for 2022? Or are you just going to keep doing what you're doing? Because it's clearly working.
My students, this group of students said, well, last year's group of students were your TikTok pushers. We want to be your Instagram pushers. I just don't have that knack for Instagram. So that's what I'm going to do over Christmas break. My niece is going to sit down with me and sort of give me a tutorial, because she too thinks that it's an even greater market for people who want to learn and just provide, you know, just on the spot remedial videos on Instagram. So that's where I'm headed to in 2022.
Any final thoughts as we wrap up our conversation?
I just actually just want to say that I think everyone needs to remember education is the most powerful weapon we can use to change the world. And that's a Nelson Mandela quote. And that's why I do what I do, because I realize that education can be the great equalizer, especially for minority students. And I see that in my sons, because being, you know, African-American males, the odds are or against, you know, them to be college graduates and to be successful, but they were able to achieve their dreams. I mean, beyond anything I ever imagined, because of education. So education is the most powerful weapon used to change the world. And I hope as we go into 2022, that more people will embrace that message, and parents and guardians and educators will soon put that message into use.
Absolutely. Ms. James, it's been a pleasure meeting you and speaking with you, and I hope you have a good holiday break before heading into 2022.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
If you want to follow Ms. James Brammer videos, you can find her on TikTok at I Am That English Teacher. She's also on Instagram as I Am That English Teacher. Up next, we're speaking with Angelica Perkins Walton, a 2019 University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff graduate, whose videos that highlight the city's history and dub it the next Black Wall Street have also been well received on TikTok. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm glad to talk a little bit about your videos promoting Pine Bluff and highlighting the area. When did you originally start making these, and what inspired you to do so?
Yeah, and thank you for having me as well. We started making these really, it was January, and it was kind of just like random. I'm very much an activist, and it kind of hurt my feelings. A lot of people would tell me that they didn't like the things that I was saying because they were, you know, uncomfortable truths. So I looked around and I was like, well, I live in a city that, you know, kind of has everything that I'm saying people need to do. So let me just, instead of saying what people should do, show people what Prime Bluff is already doing. And so that's kind of how that happened.
And what brought you to Pine Bluff? I understand you're not from there originally.
Right. Yes. So I came to Pine Bluff for school. I went to the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. And it's funny, I actually did not want to go. I'm from Hot Springs. And, you know, I've heard the stigma surrounding the city, and I also believed it. So I did not want to come to UAPB. But as soon as I hit the campus and then I saw the museum, I fell in love. And ever since then, I've been Pine Bluff's biggest cheerleader.
Well, tell me about the museum. Which museum?
So there's a museum on campus, and the museum pretty much just tells the story of how UAPB came to be. You know, it went through a couple of name changes, and at first it was just one small classroom. And so just to know the story of HBCUs in general is already amazing. But when you know it specifically for the one that you attend, or even just the state that you live in, right, I feel like it was amazing for me to know that, and especially hearing the stigma from my hometown, and then knowing that even though there was the stigma, the first Black man graduated with a college degree, got his degree from what is now UAPB, and just hearing things like that, seeing the pictures that match, you know, to tell the story, I was like, oh yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be.
What are some of those stigmas that you heard when you were getting ready to go there for school?
Oh yeah, man, I just heard everything. And honestly, none of them that I've heard have been my experience. I heard art's pretty graphic things. I really don't want to let it, like,
sure, you know, sure.
But just bad things, basically, that it isn't safe, especially as a woman. I'm sure you know where I'm going with that. But in my experience, you know, I go to work, I hang out with friends in a group of people, and I've never felt unsafe.
So coming to Pine Bluff, like you said, there was this museum, and that's how you sort of learned about the history of UAPB, but how did you end up learning about the history of the city itself?
That is a great question. You know, I think it was at one of our university convocation days. You know, a lot of the alumni from UAPB are very proud, and a lot of them are from Pine Bluff, whereas, you know, the more time passes, you have more people from all over coming to the school. And so when the older alumni come, they just have stories for days. And I think I heard bits and pieces from one of their stories, and then that just sent me down the rabbit hole. And then I was like, wow, you mean the person who founded Tulsa's Black Wall Street is from Pine Bluff? I must know more.
And did you know much about, you know, Tulsa's Black Wall Street prior to starting to do this research and finding that connection with O.W. Gurley being from Pine Bluff and then starting Black Wall Street in Tulsa?
Yeah, I really didn't know much about it, except I was actually born in Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
And my mom had like a godmom or somebody who had a doll shop on Greenwood Avenue, which is, you know, the place that we recognize as Black Wall Street. But she always told me that when I was little, and I never like really knew what she was talking about. You know, I was like, okay, mom, like, I hear you. But then when I grew up and I was like, hey, you used to talk about this. And she was like, yeah, I heard about it when we lived in Tulsa as well. And so that was kind of interesting, putting the pieces together for that. I honestly learned more about it at the same time as I think the most, you know, the rest of the world learned recently, you know, when people started to talk about it for the 100th year anniversary. I was learning just like everybody else.
How did you do your research and finding out more about Pine Bluff and Black Wall Street, just, I guess, in Tulsa as well? Library, reading books, like what was kind of your process? Because I know a lot of times folks will hear this and they're like, well, how can I find out more? So I'm curious what your journey is, so maybe people can, you know, be inspired from that.
Absolutely. A lot of the Pine Bluff history, honestly, you have to hear that from the elders, because of that stigma, it's very hard to find anything positive about Pine Bluff. However, you will find like things like, for instance, there was the Battle of Pine Bluff, and that is why Pine Bluff became a Union city during the Civil War, which is why there's so many African Americans here, because it was a safe space. They weren't slaves when they came to Pine Bluff. Therefore, they could build an HBCU and businesses and all of that type of stuff, enough so that O.W. Gurley could make his money and take his money to Tulsa. However, you know, more of like the details of like the famous people and things like that. There is a book, and it is written by Jimmy Cunningham, and it's about, you know, people from Jefferson County, Arkansas, and Pine Bluff. Other than that, I mean, really just Google, but when it comes to Pine Bluff, you're going to have to do some digging. And that's something that I'm hoping that my generation of people, you know, who are living in Pine Bluff can start putting out more TikToks and more articles that can get to the top of that SEO, because right now all you're going to find is the exaggerated crime reports.
So have you been surprised at the way people have reacted to your TikTok videos? Because as I looked right before we started recording this, you've got 51,000 followers, which is quite a few.
Yes, ma'am. Definitely just extremely humbled, extremely grateful, definitely surprised. I don't remember how many followers I had when I first made my video. I want to say maybe like 8,000, maybe. And I remember just thinking, well, I'm going to try this because I keep making people mad. I'm really a soft, sensitive person. I hate hurting people's feelings, but I felt like I need to get this information out there, you know? So I was like, let me just try this. And at this point, I'm like, you know, I'm just doing something, right? And then it was so well received. I was like, wow, I did not see that coming at all. But I'm extremely, extremely grateful.
And if you don't mind me asking, what was hurting people's feelings?
I think it's just sometimes it can be hard to unlearn, you know, the things that we have been taught. And then I'm not going to just put it on other people. I've definitely had to work on my delivery. Right. I've matured a lot, you know, but and then also I think it's very common for people who are passionate about any subject to kind of be a little insensitive sometimes. And I know that that was definitely me. Like I had math teachers in high school who were like, you should know this. And it's like, I don't know. And I think that I might have been that person to other people, just being honest, but I've worked on that since then.
Growth and the learning process, all good things.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what are some of the things, because I think you're incorporating, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're incorporating some of those messaging into the videos that you're creating now. So what are some of those ideas that or opinions that you're trying to share with people?
I think right now the biggest one is that there's a lot of stigma, especially as it relates to the Black community, about living in the South, or even more specifically, living in what we would call the hood, right? A predominantly Black area, because the South is racist and the hood is dangerous. And, you know, that can be true for both sides. However, I think that we kind of have to figure a way to move past those things. Of course, cautiously and strategically, I'm not saying people should just not be aware, but I think that we have to find the balance between awareness and still perseverance, because if we're not doing that, I think that we are causing ourselves more harm for the future, because there's investment opportunities, there's opportunities to rebuild community or even strengthen the community that is already there. Lastly, I feel like due to the stigma of racism or the danger of, you know, the hood, we are leaving out a lot of people who need help. And I think that that is kind of why I rally so much for Pine Bluff, on top of the amazing history, right? It's an opportunity to be an example for what these communities can look like across the entire nation, because everybody just needs a little bit of help. And I think many hands make light work. So that's really the main thing I'm trying to push right now. Don't count out the South and don't count out the hood.
In your videos, you talk about rebuilding an area, and I know that Pine Bluff is going through a revitalization process. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of those projects that are ongoing and if maybe you're involved with some of them?
So unfortunately, I'm not involved with any projects. I'm just happy to be using my social media skills to, you know, make it more known, because I think that there's a lot of projects going on in Pine Bluff, but unfortunately, people don't really hear about it. It gets overshadowed by the other things. So some of the projects that we have, downtown is being revitalized. They have repaved the roads, added sidewalks, added some streetscaping. Right now, they're trying to get some businesses into the downtown area. I heard that one of the things that is causing people to be a little bit hesitant is the fact that since those buildings are technically historic, there is some coding and zoning that goes into people getting in that, and it can be a little bit pricey, but I'm just believing that somebody is going to be able to do it anyways, and it's going to cause a domino effect. Then on top of that, we've had an aquatic center, we have a new library, and I think that both of those things right now are the newest in the state. We have a new casino, and a lot of people think that the casino is driving all of this progress, but truthfully, it's just a matter of timing. A lot of these projects were already in the works, and they just happened to be able to succeed all together at the same time. There's a new school here that just made the top 10 elementaries in Arkansas. I mean, the list goes on and on. UAPB is doing revitalization. They're trying to bring a go-kart and a something else. I mean, every day I'm like, wow, okay, they're trying to bring this. They're trying to bring this. It's just, it's a lot going on here.
I think I heard something about, is it drag racing maybe?
Yes, like yes.
A track for that?
A drag strip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know there's talks about that. From everything that you're saying, it's very much a very positive outlook on the city in which you live, right? And that can seem very counter to a lot of, like you said, the stigmas that people hear. So I'm just curious if, generally speaking, you are a positive person. You kind of always see the glass half full.
You know, people tell me that, but my family and my husband might tell you otherwise. I actually have to really work on having a positive outlook. I can get very bogged down by situations. But I think that even just rallying behind Pine Bluff, especially as it relates to TikTok, has shown me that even like outside of Pine Bluff in my own life, right, there's always something good in every situation, and focusing on that makes the good multiply. Whereas if I focus on the negative, now I'm distracted and I can't tend to the good things that are there, and that increases the negativity because now I'm stressed. And, you know, it's, so it's like I'm truly learning, even though I wouldn't say that I'm a naturally positive person, but I'm striving to be positive anyways, because for me, it's just more beneficial.
So with this TikTok account and all of these thousands of followers, are they mostly Arkansans or are they from all over? What have you found with that?
I see that 90% are from the United States, 2% are from Canada, 1% is from the UK. And so I guess that other 7% is from like all over. So majority US.
So who would you say the intended audience is for these videos? Who are you hoping will watch and get something out of it?
Definitely. So first Arkansas, because I think that even if people can't move here, if we can have our fellow Arkansans begin to speak positively about the things going on here, we can hopefully change that stigma from the inside out, because it's not just about the stigma. People having that perspective of Pine Bluff is severely affecting the city because the tax base is being depleted, because people are leaving and not coming because they're afraid. Okay, so then after Arkansas, honestly, my target audience is anybody who cares about the injustice that is being done in the world, especially as it relates to the Black community, but more specifically, the like Black millennials and Black Gen Z, so that, you know, we are the ones that are now graduating college and we have time and talent and resources. And I think that if we can convince us to pull those together in a city that really needs it, we could really shake some things up.
Have you had folks reach out to you and ask about collaborating in the real world?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. There's a lady who told me that she has a group of 12 people looking to do tours in 2021. We had one family do a tour. They drove 9 hours to come check out Pine Bluff. And that was really nice. She still speaks so highly of it to this day. And then in Arkansas, there's a couple people in Little Rock who would like to help get the message out. And then you are helping me so much with this lovely podcast. So
we try. So what are your plans for 2022? You've been doing this for a year. It got a lot of attention. So what comes next?
Honestly, I'm still praying on that. I'm a woman of faith, so I definitely got to be on one accord with the Lord, you know.
Sure.
But I would love to find a way to not just, I don't want it to be the only one sharing this in 2022. And I don't want it to just be Pine Bluff. Like, I'm rooting for Pine Bluff. My objective is to get people to Pine Bluff. But Pine Bluff is not the only community in the United States that could use some morale boost. So I really think that I want to figure out a way to, like, maybe do like a coaching class or, I don't know, something that will first create a new generation of influencers here in Pine Bluff who just take pride in their city and could possibly make some money doing it, you know, because that's a new industry, but also help people around the United States, maybe even around the world, see the good that is in their towns that may have been otherwise counted out.
Well, thank you for sharing your voice and your story. We appreciate it and hope you have a good holiday season and a good start to 2022.
Thank you so much. You too.
You can follow Angelica on her TikTok account at @Afro_Angie_. We'll put a link to hers and Ms. James's accounts on our website, argotsoul.com/affirmativeaction. You'll also find all of this year's episodes there, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Thanks again to today's guests and to you, our wonderful listeners, for tuning in once again in 2021. We'll be back in 2022 with brand new episodes, but until then, I hope you get some much deserved rest before gearing up to tackle the year ahead. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks again for listening. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy new year.